Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fair But Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez, Fair But Firm.
Welcome to the Fair But Firm Show here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the entertainment capital of the world, and of course, the boxing capital of the world. Dear friend, our co-host John Zimmel, who's always with us, always gives us a lot of insight of boxing.
Okay, so now with this coming weekend, we have Tyson Fury, and it's going to be a good fight here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we have Devin Haney, who's fighting in Madison Square Garden.
Yes, sir.
And we got Jaime Munguia. Those are three good fights that are coming up.
But it still kind of feels like a letdown, right? I mean, this is, can we recap a little bit?
Yeah.
This was supposed to be the biggest fight weekend of the year. It
right.
is every week. This is,
right.
or every year. This is September 16th weekend. This is Mexican Independence Day weekend. This is the biggest fight, the biggest everything. And, I mean, looks like Canelo's team, for whatever reason you want to say, they couldn't get a deal done. I don't want to be too critical, but, I mean, they were supposed to. This is their weekend, and it didn't get done. So, I mean, what do you think? How would you feel being Canelo Alvarez's team? Now, we got some news about him coming up in a minute. But, I mean, looking at this weekend, knowing how profitable it is, would you feel like you dropped the ball a little bit? Or?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can blame Canelo for that. I mean,
I'm not blaming him personally,
He's not the businessman behind the whole thing.
Oh, no.
But if the fans would really feel like they're being cheated out of a special weekend with seeing a big Mexican fighter, you know, he's like the biggest right now out there.
By far.
And people are looking for Mexican Independence Weekend with something good. It's like not the same when you don't have a champion. I mean, you got
it's not the same.
You have a gypsy, Tyson Fury.
He's fighting for the Mayan belt. You see that? The
yeah.
Now, just to be clear, the WBC does a special commemorative belt
right. That
they do for certain occasions. This is not a belt that you can defend. This is not a belt that you necessarily, I mean, I guess you win this weekend, but it's more commemorative. It's not something you have to pay sanctioning fees on. It's kind of like a souvenir. But it was supposed to be for, you know, the fighter of Canelo versus whoever for the big Mexican Independence Day weekend. And now it's...
I would have put in Jaime Munguia with Jesse Vargas. That's what I would have put.
Well, they wanted it. I mean, Jesse Vargas was fighting for it hard. They're both with DAZN. I don't know what's stopping it there. I can guess. Let's put it this way. I can guess. So now Jaime Munguia is talking all weekend long about Canelo Alvarez. I think it's fair to say that his team saw what he... You know, the performance he's put on since winning the championship and realizes they only have another, year or so with his name before somebody beats him. Mm-hmm. He's a good fighter, but he's young. I don't mean to take him down, but really the most money they're ever going to make off him is if they cash out with a Canelo fight coming in the next part of the year.
Right.
And so I think the plan here is set him up, knock him down, get a, you know, big win this weekend, and then I think they're going to be pushing for a Canelo fight in the future.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's nothing like the... Like the good old days when you had fighters right behind us here, we have Marvin Hagler. Marvin Hagler is like really a nice, one of the top middleweight champions of the world. And he was really giving the fans, you know, the money when he fought Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran, great fights. I mean, Hagler was really one of the big ones. If he would have been a Mexican fighter, it would have been really outstanding, you know?
Absolutely.
But anyway, Marvin Hagler was one of the great ones, and that's why we got behind us as a host for the show this week. And, you know, what can I tell you? You know, now, who else? Now, we got Munguia. He's fighting...
Patrick Aloti.
Patrick, okay. What do you think about that fight now where Munguia is a top-notch, you know, fighter who has so much to the... brings so much to the sport. And here we are, and... trying to see who could he really fight out that would be an outstanding fighter. Should they put him against Jesse Vargas or what?
Yeah, I think that, like I said, I think the only reason they didn't make the Vargas fight was, and this is just my opinion, because they thought that Vargas would beat him, and that wasn't enough of a payday for them to cash out on Munguia's career.
Right.
And I don't blame him in a lot of ways. You know, Jaime Munguia, he's a good fighter. He won a belt really young.
Right.
And, he's not as developed as he's going to be, and he's not in the same class as even 154-pound Jesse Vargas, just to be honest.
Right.
There's no everyone else at the 154-pound division, who I love that division. We talk about it every week, whether it's Lara, whether it's Harrison, whether it's Hurd, whether it's Jermell Charlo. Every one of those guys, I think, could conceivably take Munguia's belt from him if they wanted to. So at the end of the day, I think they want to build up a super fight with Canelo, cash out on those Tijuana fans. They really like Munguia and want to see that big Mexican-on-Mexican matchup. But really, since we keep mentioning Canelo, let's talk about the big news for the weekend. I mean, this is the whole thing, right? I mean, we hear that Canelo and Sergey Kovalev are finalizing a deal to get a fight done here in Las Vegas on November 2nd. You know, we always say when there's enough smoke, there's fire, and there's a lot of smoke here. It's a lot. So there's reason to believe that this has been a fight that Canelo's wanted for a very long time. This is a lot of the reason why they couldn't get a fight done for this weekend with them, because Kovalev had to fight Yarde, and Yarde wouldn't take step-aside money. So this is the fight Canelo wants. He wants to fight a 175-pound champion. Now, Kovalev he's got the name, he's got the resume. At one point, he was considered the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Him versus Andre Ward was for the title of number one pound-for-pound. I mean, it was as exciting as you could possibly get a fight. A lot of people felt like Kovalev won the first one.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see a Canelo go up to 175. I never thought that he would go up to 168, but going up two weight classes, 160 to 175. That's something that really a lot of fans were not expecting, but we'll wish him the best of luck. Let's see. I know he's not going to stay at 175.
No. I mean, let's be honest. Even though he has the biggest name at 175, the other champions at 175, Bivol, Gvozdik, I think both those guys would end up, would finish Canelo, because Canelo's just too small.
Right.
But Kovalev is a little bit older. He's a little bit washed. Now, he's really good, but he's just not the Kovalev that we once knew. And so I think Canelo sees a guy and says, look, this would really help my resume. I go up to 175. I beat the biggest name at that. And he's right. He's absolutely right. But no, I don't think he stays at 175, because he'd be in a lot of trouble up there.
Right, definitely.
I think he's in a lot of trouble against Kovalev, to be honest. But he's the most beatable opponent of the three.
Yeah, well, right now I think it's all either eagle or just a business. I don't know. I get confused with these fighters. I mean, they win so many weight class championships. Why do they want to keep going up? Is it because they want to try to say, like, Manny Pacquiao, the 8-time world champion?
They want to dare to be great, man. You know what I mean? It's
eight divisions, Manny Pacquiao. Eight divisions. You know, all the way from flyweight all the way to super welterweight. I mean,
I think he wants to test himself. And also, who else is he going to fight? Who's he going to fight at middleweight that would really matter? Jermall Charlo would be a fun build-up, and I like Jermall Charlo, but Jermall Charlo's not in his class.
Right.
At 168, who would he fight? I think he'd have trouble with Callum Smith, but Callum Smith isn't as big of a name as Sergey Kovalev.
Right.
So he's getting the biggest payday for the biggest challenge, and also I think it's fun for him, because, I mean, at a certain point, he's running out of people to challenge. He's in a historically weak middleweight division outside of maybe Triple G, who he's already done that twice.
This guy behind us, they got to bring him back in.
Yeah, he might come back.
Marvin Hagler, he probably said, you know, these guys, when I was fighting, I had these issues. These probably were just fighting, having a lot of fun. But that was the golden
era. A lot more money now. You know what I mean? More money, more problems, Joe.
Yeah, that's where
you know, that's the story of boxing. I'll also say, though, speaking of guys coming back, you see Oliver McCall is fighting. He's training to fight another fight next month.
Oliver McCall.
He's like 54 years old. He's like your age. I don't know. It's kind of crazy, man. He's coming back.
Coming back.
What do you think about that?
I think
he fought last year. I mean, he just keeps fighting. He fights like once a year. Fights more than Usyk.
Fights
more than Thurman.
I think that he's going to get himself hurt seriously. Then the commission is going to say, you know, a guy who's not really active at his age, 54 years old, you know, come on. Now, that is really,
I think boxing should have a seniors division.
Well, you know, I think what's going to happen is that someone's going to get hurt seriously, and everybody's going to cut all this crap out, you know?
I don't know, man. As long as there's money there, we've had two deaths this year. You know what I mean? It's just, as long as there's money, people are going to keep doing it. How else is Oliver McCall going to make a living? It's kind of, it's rough stuff, you know?
Yeah,
but maybe he just loves it. I don't know. Manny Pacquiao just loves it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Manny Pacquiao is 40 years old. He's not 54, you know
what
I mean?
40's still old, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
40 years old. Manny's 40 is like another person's 200, because he's been through so many wars. You know what I mean?
He looks outstanding.
He does, yeah.
When he fought Keith Thurman the other day.
WBA welterweight champion of the world.
Well, and one of the best ones out there.
Which is crazy.
And Manny Pacquiao was not a favorite in that fight. And he ended up taking the welterweight title again.
That was astounding, man. Absolutely astounding.
So we have Tyson Fury, the Gypsy. He comes here once again. He returns to Las Vegas, the boxing capital of the world, to show the world that he has something, that he wants to prove to the world that he's coming back, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy that he has, he's an interim heavyweight champion.
One of those made up things.
Oh, man. You don't know. Now, how many champions do we have again?
We have two champions. We have Andy Ruiz and Deontay Wilder.
Deontay Wilder.
And then whatever Tyson Fury's made-up belt that he has, the lineal championship. Listen, I know I'm going to hear about it, but I just – this is. Did you – Joe, you've been in boxing, what, 60 years? Well, how many times did you hear about a lineal championship?
Not when I was fighting.
No, because that wasn't a thing.
And that came about the last couple of years.
Because Tyson Fury, because he didn't have a belt. And I understand the claim. Like, at a certain point, I do understand it. You are – you know, you beat the man who beat the man. I do understand that. But to act like that's your, you know what I mean? Like that should be the recognized heavyweight belt doesn't make any sense. It's not a belt. Yeah. You had a chance to win a belt. You drew despite how, you know what I mean? You got knocked down twice. Avoid the right hand in the 12th and you're a champion. And you never hear the term lineal champion again because then you'd be the WBC champion. He's going to be holding up that Mayan belt at the end of this one and going, acting like that's his belt. How many made-up belts do you need, Tyson Fury?
I mean, how many belts are they going to have out there? I mean, you might go to the supermarket and the clothing store, pick up a belt. They're going to have all the kind of belts. They're going to have the Faber Firm belt.
I'd be fine with that. You have sanctioned fees.
so many belts out there. I can't believe it.
I think it is kind of ironic that, like, Tyson Fury won every belt except the WBC when he beat Vladimir Klitschko.
Yeah.
And then got stripped for one reason or another, mostly drug-related, which people forget. It was a PED suspension. And then comes back, fights for the WBC belt, the only one he didn't get. And like we said, got a draw, almost got knocked out. A lot of people believe he should have won. I scored it for him. But then now he's fighting for a WBC Mayan belt, which isn't a real belt. But that's the belt he's fighting for this weekend by the only sanctioning body that he hasn't won a belt from and has tried over and over again. Now he's like almost getting taunted with a made-up WBC belt. It's kind of it's ironic in a lot of ways. It makes me laugh, to be honest.
It's sounding like a circus, you know, really.
Yeah.
It really is ridiculous when you see all of this.
I don't mind the Mayan belt, Joe, because look, the WBA super and regular belt, we've talked about that a lot. That's a farce.
Yeah.
That's a belt that's just an extra belt. It's for no reason. It's nothing to do with anything except for sanctioning fees. This WBC franchise champion distinction that we've given Canelo in the middleweight division for no reason, it's also a farce. But this one is just, like I said, it's like a souvenir. You say, hey, thanks for coming to fight at Las Vegas on, you know, they just want to get their name out there. It's a brand recognition thing. It doesn't cost anyone any money. I honestly don't dislike the Mayan belt, and I think it's kind of good looking. It's a pretty belt.
Well, maybe when I go to Mexico now for the convention, I'm gonna probably end up buying a dozen of them, bring them home.
Yeah, bring me one.
Yeah, why not?
They probably sell them at the
Well, you're a champion. You deserve a belt.
I do. The Mayan belt, I deserve it about as much as on a wallet.
That's for sure, man.
That's crazy.
I mean,
stuff,
but I think that what's happening now with these fights coming up this week, and then we also have.
You got the big fight, the one you'll be at.
Well, we got Devin Haney, who's fighting for the interim lightweight championship. And that's this is a fight that Devin Haney says, how you pronounce this fellow's name?
Zaur Abdulayev.
Abdulayev.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, that's it.
You nailed it.
Anyway, Devin Haney, I'm an advisor on this team, and I can tell you that Devin Haney could probably, he's going to come home with that belt.
You know, the interim belt?
Interim belt.
It's an eliminator, right?
Yeah,
so if he wins, then Lomachenko has to fight him, essentially.
That's what it looks like.
At some
point. Yeah. But it looks that way. I think Lomachenko is going to have his hands full against
him. He's got a lot of eliminators. I mean, he's got a lot of mandatories, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, Devin Haney is a fighter that has a lot of talent. He's young. He has a lot of skills, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. He's as slick as they come.
He's 20 years young. The kid got all the moves. I've watched the Sugar Ray Leonard highlights of Sugar Ray Leonard just to see, you know, where he's at with. Haney's 20 years old. He's such a young man to be. I hate to even use that word old, but he's not old. He's a young 20-year-old fighter, 20 years young, and he's got so much skills left. And I mean, he's just coming up the rank. He's learning. He hasn't really mature. He hasn't blossomed yet. 100%.
He's definitely not in his prime yet. You're absolutely right.
Not yet. No, he's getting there.
He looks good. No. I'm not knocking the guy. I'm saying he's still young. You know, he's still building. He's growing.
He's growing. And, you know, a lot of fighters are really taking him seriously now because they say, "Wow, this kid can end up beating, one of these tough fighters out there like Lomachenko."
But now where's his ceiling weight-wise? Because he's 20 years old. He's at 135.
He's gonna be 154. Down the
really?
Line. Yeah, he can go even middleweight. I mean, he's got the height.
He's a big guy. I mean, I met him. He's a big guy.
If you put him next to a Marvin Hagler, the same height, And the kid is only 20 years old. He's a lightweight. So.
He got a lot more, physical maturing.
Don't forget, Roberto Duane went from lightweight to middleweight champion, even for 168 when he fought Sugar Ray Leonard.
The third time, the grudge match.
Yeah.
At 168.
At 168. So that's crazy. This kid's 135, and he's growing. You can see he's developing. They're holding his weight.
But he's calling right now.
But is that Devin Haney calling? Hey, Devin, I hear you're fighting this coming Saturday for the championship. Friday night, Madison Square Garden. It's the first fight for Devin Haney in Madison Square Garden, the mecca of boxing. And to have Devin Haney fighting there is going to be a great thing. I mean, I fought in Madison Square Garden when I was back in the days, and it was a great feeling. That was only in the amateurs when I was fighting the Golden Gloves. But it was a great, great time. And then there's nothing like fighting in Madison Square Garden. Once you fight in Madison Square Garden or you fight in Las Vegas, you have reached the top of the line.
There. The mecca, baby.
The mecca. Madison Square Garden is the place you got to go to, even if you go there to watch a fight. First time I went there to watch a mega fight was when I went to see Muhammad Ali when he fought Joe Frazier. And that was all the electricity in the air, Madison Square. No, there's nothing like it. Just like when you come to Las Vegas for the big fights, you walk into the arena, T-Mobile Arena now, or the MGM Hotel, Mandalay Bay Hotel, Caesar's Palace when it was outdoors. It was amazing when you walk into that crowd and you see these fighters out there and you see the fans that are just like on cloud nine. Anytime you go to one of the big fights, even like Frank Sinatra, you look around ringside, you see all the big celebrities. Oh my God, I was there when Frank Sinatra was there taking photos of Muhammad Ali knocking out certain fighters, you know, and it was just an amazing thing to experience.
Absolutely, man. It's just, there's no feeling like championship boxing, whether it's in Vegas or like we said, Barclays is like that now. Barclays is, they've really adopted the, Brooklyn boxing persona. They love it. They host about, more cards a year than anybody.
Exactly.
It's pretty outstanding. I love what they've done with how they've embraced boxing. Actually, we got a question. You got Chisora versus Parker. Who you got in that fight? Those are two. That's a make or break for both these guys.
Yeah, well.
Anybody loses that, they're getting knocked down a few more pegs. They're kind of out of the picture at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Parker still has a chance. You know, Joseph Parker's still in the mix. You know, he's not a washed up fighter. I
mean, not at all.
He's a threat in the heavyweight division. He'll be there for a little while.
Yeah, you think Parker beats Chisora then this weekend?
I think so. I think Parker has a good chance.
I think Joseph Parker's a better fighter at this point, too. I like Chisora, though. I like his antics. I like a lot about him.
Yeah. Yeah. What else we got happening now? We have, we talked about Tyson Fury. Now, Tyson Fury is going to have a big fan base.
You want to analyze that?
Yeah, let's analyze Tyson Fury because Tyson Fury is a fighter that has a great following. Now, you know, what really got his stock went up when he fought that fight against Deontay Wilder. A lot of people thought that he beat Deontay Wilder, and it was just such a mess up with that fight, and it was just because the scoring was kind of off. I mean, Wilder got dropped twice in the fight. Fury got dropped twice, and Wilder got hurt himself in the middle part of that fight. He got a little hurt.
Yeah, I mean, Fury was put on a master class on how to not get hit by the most lethal right hand in the world, and he still got hit twice by it.
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy for a lot of reasons. That fight was outstanding, and then he followed up this big draw against the hardest hitting heavyweight in the last 20 years with a big matchup against the indomitable Tom Schwartz.
Right.
A second round knockout against Tom Schwartz, and then now he's going to follow that up with the matchup the whole world's been waiting for: Tyson Fury, Otto Wallin. One. And what do you expect to see from Tyson Fury in this?
I think Tyson Fury, I think we'll play around with this guy for a couple of rounds, and then about the fifth round, we're going to put him away. I think this guy his opponent will not be able to deal with the skills. I like Tyson Fury, his jabs, combination. He puts his hands behind his back, kind of get a little too cocky there. I hate to see that, but
that's kind of fun. Yeah. I like it. I mean, I don't think he has the power of most heavyweights, but at the same time, I mean, he put, Schwartz away. I think if you put the over-under at 5.5 rounds, you go under?
Yeah.
I go under, too. I don't think it'd last 6 rounds.
No way in the world.
Someone will have to tell me I'm not going to watch it.
It'd be like Schwartz fights 2 rounds?
It's like the Schwartz fight 2 rounds.
Man. But Schwartz had Tyson Fury up against the ropes and threw about 5-6 punches. And
Fury made.
And Fury was just making him slip. And, I mean, he looked out, he got a bigger... round of applause from the fans for his boxing skills, you know?
The best tailor in the world couldn't make Tyson Fury look as good as Tom Schwartz did.
Unbelievable.
I'll tell you what.
But anyway, so then in a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about the Sean Porter and...
That's the big one, baby.
Sean Porter, who's will be in against Errol Spence Jr., who's a very, very difficult fighter, who's a great body punch. He's a southpaw, comes with a lot of skills, undefeated, and he never tasted defeat, while as Sean Porter has tasted defeat twice already.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he has.
That was against Keith Thurman and Kell Brooks.
Kell Brooks, who,
And so we'll see. We'll see.
Kell Brook took the IBF championship from Sean Porter.
Right.
And then Errol Spence took it from him. So now that's the belt that they're one of the belts that they're going to be fighting for. It's unification. They're going to have the two there. We've been calling for this. I mean, since what? It's been 2 years we've been doing this show. We've been calling for the welterweight fighters to please unify, 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 unify. And Keith Thurman was on bed rest for 2 years. Finally came out, fought. He fought the WBA regular champion, which is kind of a unification, I guess. And he lost. So now we have four real champions, and it's going to be down to three right after this. Right after September 28th, and I could not be more excited for this fight coming up. I want to know what happens after that because I think they both want to – I mean, I don't think Pacquiao wants Spence, and I don't blame him. At this point in his career, he can fight whoever he wants, defend his own title. He has no need to unify, but, I mean, boxing has a need to unify. You know, like boxing wants unifications.
Yeah. What you call it? Pacquiao, I don't think he cares who he fights. He's fought the best. He's fought the mediocre guys. He fought them all up and down the – top ten contenders, he fought them all, beat them all, and the only thing he can do next is go up to 154, which I don't think he wants to do.
He's done that before.
He's done it before, but I don't think he wants to do it again.
Why would he? Yeah.
Yeah. Why would he?
Although I'd rather fight some of the 154 pound guys than fight Errol Spence. I mean, really though, honestly, they're around the same size, and Errol Spence is about like a lot of people feel like if Errol Spence when he goes up to 154, he'd pretty much clean out that division. And I'm one of those people. I love 154 because everybody's about the same level and they could all beat each other. I think it's the most exciting division in the sport. But I think if Errol Spence went up there, he'd be, you know, it would be become less exciting because you have one top dog, which just isn't as fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you that welterweight division has been a hotbed for a number of years.
It's a shark tank.
Yeah, and now we're just hoping that next week they'll end up getting a nice 1 or 2 weeks. We'll get a nice. Make up for the welterweight division, where we're going to go from there. But I think that after next week's fights, which is nothing really much
next week's not really anything.
The following week, we'll be talking about a Tyson Fury result. We'll be talking about that next week. But a Tyson Fury, again, like I said, I kind of like his style. Yeah, I like his
He's got a lot of swag
A lot of swag. Yeah, I like charisma about him. He can punch, he can box. He does it all.
He can sing.
He can sing, too. Yeah, I was going to say. He took the words right out of my
mouth. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
I mean, the guy has it all, man. It's like you, man.
It's like me?
Yeah.
Total package?
Yeah, you got it all, man.
Yeah, I don't have his defense. He's pretty amazing, man.
Yeah.
But, Wilder would kill me.
I love to see the heavyweight division get back to where it was when the days I mean, this Swedish fighter that he's fighting Saturday night is going to be
sorry.
I hope he's not.
Stop doing that.
If he's not going to be like, hopefully, like Ingemar Johansson when he knocked out Floyd Patterson.
That would be so funny.
Imagine an upset like that.
That would be so funny.
I mean, Ingemar Johansson did it, but then he came back and they had the rematch, and Patterson knocked him out in the rematch.
I love Tyson Fury. I think he's amazing. I think he's great for the sport. But I think when you're fighting guys around the, you know, top 50, when you're considering yourself the number one, I think an upset would be really funny. I really do.
Yeah.
I loved the Andy Ruiz, Anthony Joshua upset, and I love Joshua.
Yeah.
I love all these guys. You know what I mean? Like, when Deontay Wilder fights Luis Ortiz and it's tight, like, I want the greater man to win. I want to see Wilder win that fight. But if Wilder was fighting, you know, Stavern again, then yeah, I'd be thinking it was funny to watch if Stavern beat him.
Wow.
I like, you know, when you drop down in competition and you lose, it's not a good look, and I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah. You fans out there have any more questions?
We got one right there.
What's that?
Mike Tyson versus Tyson Fury. Who comes out on top, and why?
Oh, come on, Mike Tyson would put away Tyson Fury. I mean, Mike Tyson.
Tyson stand up on a stool, maybe.
You know, Mike Tyson. Yeah. But Mike Tyson, you know, he knows how to bob and weave, work his way inside.
He'd be going between his legs, running around the other side.
It would be something like that, right?
It would be pretty funny to
oh,
watch.
Oh, my God. Tyson Fury, what, 6'7"?
6'9", man.
6'9". 6'9". Mike Tyson is about 5'10". You know? 5'10". I mean,
I honestly think it's a tough matchup, man. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Mike Tyson is phenomenal in every way, but it's styles make fights. And it's a he's a hard guy to hit, man. He's just a hard guy to hit. Tyson Fury is, and he's even harder to hit. He was hard to hit from a 6'7" Deontay Wilder. Now, Deontay Wilder isn't Tyson Fury, or Mike Tyson. I understand all that. But when you got to punch up a foot against a guy who's maybe the best defensive fighter we've seen since Muhammad Ali, you're going to have your hands full.
Well, look at this kid, the Mexican featherweight, Navarrete.
Oh, he's going to be fighting on the undercard of this fight.
Yeah, he's fighting on the undercard, right. So that's going to be amazing. But, I mean, when he fought Isaac Dogbo, I mean, Isaac Dogbo, he had like a foot of height on him.
That's what, yeah.
And
he knocked out Dogbe twice.
He knocked him out, yeah. So if you got the height, you got the boxing skill. And the
that's what I'm saying.
And the punching power, you can do it.
Sometimes size matters. That's why there's weight divisions in this. You know what I mean? Yeah. In this game. And sometimes it doesn't. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not, look, believe me, I know how passionate Mike Tyson fans are. And I know how excited they get. And I don't rate Tyson Fury anywhere near Mike Tyson. I don't. Mike Tyson is a much higher rated fighter. But I think if they met in the ring, in their primes, you'd have a difficult matchup, and it definitely I don't think anybody's blowing through anybody. Let's put it that way.
You know, you got your fans out there wonder what Tyson Fury, where did he get the name from? He got it from Mike Tyson. His father was a big fan of Mike Tyson, and when Mike Tyson was fighting, so Tyson Fury was born, and his father said, I'm gonna name him Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
And that's how the name came about, in case your fans didn't know that. You know?
But Tyson, I love that.
And Tyson Fury has become a fan of Mike Tyson had become a fan of Tyson Fury just because he got the name. He said, his father gave you my name, you know? So he kind of like feels that, you know, I kind of love this guy. He's an up-and-coming heavyweight who's up in age, has had his downfalls in life, and a lot of folks
don't. Yeah, maybe he sees a little of himself in that?
Yeah, Mike Tyson, said, yeah. He said,
won the championship and then kind of spun out a little bit?
Yeah, and here's Tyson Fury went up to blew up to over 300 pounds, had drugs, cocaine, mental illness here.
If there's anyone that can understand all that, man, honestly, it's his namesake. You know, someone who's been at the top of the sport, been the baddest man in the world, and then saw it all come crashing down because of his own, you know, I don't know what the proper word is here, but, you know, his own mistakes, his own deficiencies, his own illnesses.
Yeah, it's a shame. You know, he's just people out there, you know, that have these issues. I feel sorry for them. It's just Tyson Fury came back, you know. He came back. There's a lot of folks out there that we call it functioning addicts. And, you know, they need some help sometimes. And Tyson Fury, you know, came back. He really came back from hitting rock bottom.
His whole thing.
When you hit rock bottom, only one place to go is back up. And he went back up all the
way. And getting back up has been the one thing that has defined his entire career. Every time he got knocked down, when he didn't make the Olympics and they chose Dave Price over him, he came back. He came back and won the heavyweight championship when no one thought he could. When he got stripped of all of his titles, gained 100 pounds, you know, wanted to commit suicide, all this stuff, he came back. When he got knocked out cold by the hardest hitting heavyweight in the world right now, he got up and came back. You can never count Tyson Fury out, and that's why the world finds him so compelling, on top of the singing and the charisma and the joking and everything else. This is a man who won't be kept down, and that's why he has fans all over the world.
That's right. I agree with you. You know, he's really a top-notch heavyweight right now, definitely considered one of the top five in the world. With that said, fans, I just want to tell you that we love your boxing. We love boxing with a passion. We love you guys tuning in on watching us online, and you can catch us all on the social media.
Absolutely. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. If you're watching us on Facebook Live right now, we love that. Thank you for checking us out live. But make sure if you didn't get a chance to watch it or you just watched the end, you can always catch us on any of those other avenues that we just talked about. Make sure you share. Make sure you subscribe. And thank you for watching.
Yeah. Say a shout out to our friends in the United Kingdom, Dan Hewitt, and the whole gang out there. You fighters around the world, we love you guys. We'll catch you next week. Take care. God bless.
Fair but Firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but Firm.